Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
This 5 weeks, we are covering current issues in our world today, and you're going to see on the screen in just a little while. We started off with loneliness and genuine community, gender and sexuality, and today we're going to be covering mental health matters and embracing wholeness. As you can tell, even our pastors are losing our minds, so it's a very important topic. Next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about purpose and then identity. So I don't think that it's a coincidence that today we're talking about embracing wholeness, mental health matters. And this weekend, we have many of our people going through the steps to freedom as they walk through the Freedom in Christ course. And we are hearing of many breakthroughs. So today, as we begin, we want to come with a sense of expectancy and faith that God is doing something very deep within our midst. So here is a trivia question. How many health-related apps do you think are out there today in the world, not just Singapore, worldwide? How many healthcare-related apps do you think there are? So talk with a friend if you need to. I'm going to start a poll in a few moments. How many do you think there are health-related apps? Okay? So who says about 1,000? Raise your hands. A few? What about 10,000? Raise your hands. More hands? About 50,000? Much fewer hands. So you think roughly in the range of maybe 10,000 lah, huh? The real answer is 350,000. Huh? That's a mind-boggling number, right? Of course, it includes things like step trackers, you know, includes things like probably things like your health, other healthcare apps, you know, how do you book your hospital appointment? But out of all of these, there is a particular segment of healthcare apps that exploded in popularity during the pandemic. Can you guess what it was? Shout out some answers. Mindfulness, meditation. It seems like it's the obvious answer, right? Wrong. It's digital contact tracing apps. Do you remember the dark days of Trace Together? If you still have the token, it is now digital waste. So during the pandemic, our mental health really took a dive. Here in Singapore, they did a population health survey in 2022, and they discovered that within this period of 2 years, the prevalence of poor mental health jumped from 13% to 17%. And out of these 17%, a full 25% of those were in the proportion of the young people from age 18 to 29. So it is clear today that mental and emotional ill health is real and prevalent. So I hear in South Korea now, pet rocks are very popular to combat loneliness. They name them. Also, some people have emotional support water bottles. They also name their emotional support water bottles. So the world is searching for a solution. And the usual prescription we give people is, you know, you need to manage your stress levels, you need to manage your symptoms, you improve your resilience and your coping skills, rebalance your body chemicals by healthy living and exercise. All these are good components, good advice, but I believe that what we are searching for is deeper than the absence of symptoms. We are looking for something deeper than just the absence of symptoms. We are searching for something deeper. We are searching for wholeness, a sense of holistic, complete unity and wellness in our entirety of being. And I believe there's a Hebrew word that describes it very well. And the word is shalom. You know, shalom is usually translated peace, but it means so much more than that. In the totality of meaning, it means absence of conflict, conflict within as well. It means welfare, prosperity, and wholeness. And in today's terms, you might describe it as the complete good, complete flourishing, and the wholeness of a person in all aspects, with God, with self, and also with others. So ultimately, what we are searching for is shalom. But in our highly stressed out world, shalom feels very elusive, doesn't it? And shalom is yet to be perfected. So today, in God's Word, it reminds us that in a world where shalom is yet to be perfected, we are called to struggle faithfully with God. Would you join me in prayer, even as we commit this time unto the Lord? Eternal God, our loving, present Heavenly Father, you know what we long for. Would you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the Holy Spirit, that we might discern and receive the healing, the restoration, and the shalom that we really, really need. Amen. Amen. So where might we begin with the biblical idea of shalom? I think the best place to start is with the Aaronic benediction. It is very familiar to us, and it comes from Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26, and it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." So in this familiar passage, God instructed Aaron the priest to bless the people of Israel with this prayer. So what does this prayer mean? So in this prayer, we are asking God for favor. And because He has favor on us, then He's going to act favorably towards us. So we pray to have God's favor. We pray for Him to bless us. We pray for Him to make His face shine and to lift up His countenance towards us. And when He has favor on us, then please act favorably towards us to keep us, to be gracious to us, and to give us peace. So in this type of Hebrew poetry, what it means is each line expands on the meaning of the previous. And so the second line expands on the first, and the third expands on the second and the first. So it means that the third and final line has the fullest idea. So what is this significance? It means that peace actually contains the fullest idea of God's blessing and favor. In other words, shalom is the greatest blessing from God. Because it is sum total of God's good gifts to His people, shalom is the fullness, the completeness of good, flourishing, and wholeness that a person can have, and in all aspects. And God is the source of shalom, and He desires to give His people shalom. Otherwise, He wouldn't tell His priest to, you know, pray this over your people and bless them and give them benediction. But what was the problem about shalom? The problem is shalom was lost. You know, at creation, man was an integrated whole. But at the fall, when sin was introduced into the picture, this integration happened. Our relationship with God was shattered, and so our relationship with ourselves and with others are now corrupted and marred. And so perfect shalom was lost. But in God's grand story of salvation, this restoration of shalom has begun in the person of Jesus, who comes to bring reconciliation between God and man and between man and man. But it is not yet perfected. It is not yet perfected. And when is it going to be perfected? At the final end. Revelation 21 verse 4 tells us that at the very end, at the final end, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And shalom will be perfected in the final end. But in the meantime, we do struggle with the reality of ill health. So in a world where shalom is yet to be perfected, we are then called to struggle faithfully with God by being honest in our need to be understood, by being content in our finitude, and by being compassionate to others, even in our woundedness. And we're going to unpack each of this one at a time. First of all, being honest in our need to be understood. I think first of all, right now, it is probably helpful to define what mental health is from a Christian perspective. So shalom is about a sense of wholeness in terms of how do we relate to ourselves, how do we relate to others, and to God. So for ourselves, how do we relate to ourselves? We relate to ourselves in terms of our thoughts, our feelings, our moods, also our appetites and desires, our memories, our imaginations, and of course, our behavior in the world. And then we are also talking about wholeness. in terms of our relationships with others. How do we relate to others in all of these things? And of course, finally, most importantly, with God. So when we have wholeness, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves are healthy and flourishing, and we have a good sense of our purpose and our contribution in God's world and in God's kingdom, then we can have sufficient capacity to respond well to the inevitable challenges that life presents, whether they are physical challenges, mental challenges, spiritual challenges. And this is what mental health is like from a Christian perspective. And there are two aspects of mental health here that I think are important to note before we move on. And the first aspect is mental health is in a range. And the second is the causes of mental health are very complex. So mental health is in a range from health to ill health. Just like for your physical health, you have healthy, not so healthy, minor illnesses, major illnesses. Same for mental health, you have healthy, and then you have those, perhaps you encounter some mental health challenges, you might have some episodes of distress, and you may have some major disorders, major illnesses. So it is not helpful to think of it in binary terms, meaning yes and no, good and bad, strong mentally, weak mentally. These are not helpful ways to think about mental health. It's more of a range. The second thing is that the causes of mental health challenges and at the point in which you tip over into disorders are complex. And broadly speaking, there are three things that impact it, which is biological, environmental, and also spiritual factors. So biologically, you know, we all have differing degrees of vulnerabilities and predispositions to illnesses, just like some of us are maybe more predisposed to diabetes or to heart disease or to high cholesterol. Same for mental health. And then there are also environmental factors. Perhaps it has to do with our significant relationships, whether they are functional or dysfunctional, maybe in your family of origin. Or perhaps our learned coping skills, whether they are healthy coping skills, healthy coping mechanisms or not. There are also things that we go through, highly stressful events in life. And one particular group that I want to call out now would be like caregivers of those with special needs, caregivers of those going through with parents, going through dementia, or even caregivers to those whom you need to support in their mental health challenges. They are in constant stress for a long period of time, and that is something that we need to watch out for. And of course, there are traumatic events. Traumatic events that you go through where you experience physical trauma, emotional trauma, and abuse, for example. So we have the biological factors, we have the environmental factors, but then we also have the spiritual factors. And we've talked about some of these in our Freedom in Christ course. And what about demonic influence? I think out of 31 specific episodes of healing in the Bible, there are 31 specific accounts of healing. There are five whom they were healed of their illness or disability that had to do with demonic influence. And out of these five, only one links demonic influence together with mental illness, and that's when Jesus drove out the demon from the man in Mark 5, the Gerasene. So that's the only one that there's an explicit link. So what am I saying? I'm saying that it can be spiritual, but it's not necessarily all the time, and it's not demonic all the time. So all of these biological, environmental, and spiritual factors, they interact in very complex ways. And I'm not even going to talk too much about the range of disorders that people struggle with, whether they are mood disorders like bipolar, anxiety, stress-related disorders, trauma. There are also appetite and eating disorders, substance abuse, and all these things. I think this would be better treated in a full workshop or in a mental health education workshop, and because that's not the purpose of what we want to do today. Today, what I want to talk about, it's about the fact that we all have mental health needs. And we need to be honest about the fact that many of us do struggle to some extent. Because going through mental health challenges is no respecter of your status, no respecter of your capabilities, or even your spirituality. And in the mental health survey that was done, I think, a couple of years ago for pastors, actually, it shows us that pastors, plenty of pastors, do struggle with mental health challenges. And you can function pretty well, but still struggle. So, for us, it can be hard to be honest that we struggle. It is hard to be honest with ourselves, and it is hard to be honest with others because, hello, nobody really wants to struggle. More than that, nobody wants to be seen as struggling. Because for many of us, when we struggle, it tells us that we are not good enough, we're not strong enough, we're not resilient enough. So as Singaporeans, we already have a script in our heads, okay? We must be good enough in our studies, we must be good enough in our work, we must be good enough in our appearance, in our relationships, we must be good enough in everything. Then, when you go through mental health challenges, it's like it confirms all of the things that you already half believe about yourself. That, I'm just not good enough, I'm just not strong enough, I'm just not resilient enough. And so, it is hard to be honest with ourselves and with others. Here is another problem, why it's hard to be honest. It's hard enough when you can explain what you're going through and why you're going through it. For example, like crisis depression, when it's brought on by perhaps a traumatic event or by life circumstances. It is even harder when you cannot even understand or explain what you're going through and why you're going through it. When you struggle with clinical depression or bipolar disorder, what you're going through is also a mystery to yourself. And as a result, we feel disconnected from people and we feel disconnected from God and we ask, where is God? When we cannot make sense of what is even happening to us, what is going on, we cannot make sense of what's going on, we feel forgotten by God and we feel forgotten by people. And one of the Psalms expresses just this. When you cannot make sense of what's going on in your world, you feel forgotten by God. And Psalm 42, verse 9 to 11 says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God? Where is your God? One of our beloved pastors, Pastor David Chan, he went through clinical depression for 9 years. And he shared with me his experience, what it was like, what was challenging about it, and what he really needed. So he has given me permission to share, and I will summarize it here, and this is what he says. Suffering from clinical depression was different from crisis depression. With clinical depression, I felt trapped and couldn't really understand what I was going through. I felt emotionally disconnected from God, and what I used to love to do, studying the scriptures, reading the scriptures, felt very, very different. During this time, when people tried to solutionize my depression, it felt particularly cruel when they advised things that they couldn't really understand, like, it's a matter of faith, or maybe you should think about the fact that it's bondage. So what was helpful? There were two main things that were helpful to me. The first was hearing from two persons who had experienced and recovered from clinical depression. When I shared my experience, they would nod their heads and say, yeah, it's like this. It's like this. That really helped me feel understood. That really helped me understand that they really got what I was going through. So another book that really helped me was reading a book by Parker Palmer about his two bouts of clinical depression. When I read his book, I could identify with what he wrote. I felt really understood. When I say we need to be honest about our need, actually our deepest need as we go through mental health struggles is to be understood. And if you look at Psalm 42 again, when he asked God, why have you forgotten me? And he's trying to make sense of his agony, his suffering, embedded within is actually a deep cry to be understood. So in order, when we go through mental health struggles, our deepest need is not to be fixed, but our deepest need is to be understood. Ultimately, God is the one who can only one who can fully understand the depth, the extent of the darkness and the pain that you're going through in your valley. But I also want to share with you that God also sends people, sends help through people who can understand in part the pain and the darkness and the mystery and the confusion that you are going through. So as a family together here, today I want to encourage you, to exhort you to be brave, to be honest, to begin by seeking help. Begin by sharing with a few trusted friends or family, and from there, begin to look for some trusted ones who can help you with. At the end of the service, we are going to have some QR codes for you to scan and seek help, and you can take a look at what's available out there. Maybe you can speak to some trusted leaders or pastors as well. The key is to be brave and to be honest by first of all stepping up to say, I do have a need, and I need for someone to understand what I am going through. At this moment in the service, even though it's not usual practice for me to do so, I feel that it is important for us to say a quick prayer, because some of us feel forgotten by God in our pain and in our journey. So allow me to pray for us right now. There are some of us who feel forgotten by God, forgotten by people, in the darkness of the journey that they are in. And today, God, we pray for these ones that they will see, that God sees you, God knows you, God understands. Help us to rise in faith to believe that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in order to struggle faithfully with God, we are to be honest. But we also need to be content in our finitude. And the first question I need to answer here is, simi si finitude. That's Hokkien for Hokkien. Simi is, what on earth are you talking about? So finitude really is just a fancy word for having limits. So trust me, I really tried to find another word, okay? But there isn't another one that perfectly describes how we human beings, by God's good design, are finite. It means that we have good created human limits, and we are limited by space, we are limited by time, by power, by knowledge, by perspective, by energy. So our limits are a gift from God, and because they are a gift from God, therefore they are good. And it frees us from trying to be something we are not and cannot be, because limitlessness is reserved for God alone. But I tell you, we humans have been sold a vision of limitless potential. So as long as we put in the effort, we can get more power, more benefits, more success, more achievement, and you know, technology is an enabler of this quest. We can keep on doing more, faster, and more, and faster. And if there is no end point to this, it is not difficult to imagine a scenario where we crash and burn very quickly down the road. So in our personal lives, we also seem to live with the constant stress of unrelenting demands, expectations and distractions, and add to that stressful life events, work crises, family conflicts, relationship breakdowns, whatever. For people of my generation, they call us the sandwich generation. You are sandwiched by elderly parents on top, kids below, and your careers in between. So it's like a big squishy thing, sandwich generation. I beg to differ. I think it's more like the Xiaoping generation. Why? Xiaoping is a Chinese deep fried blend, and we are kneaded, we are rolled up, then we are flattened, then we are put in hot oil and deep fried both sides. Xiaoping is delicious, but I tell you, it is very fried, very, very deep fried. And no wonder our mental health is not doing well, because inside we are a bunch of Xiaopings walking around. And it's not just about the sandwich generation, it's for all of us. We feel like Xiaopings walking around. So when we try to meet the crushing weight of expectation that the world places on us, and to be honest, we also place on one another, we are trying to become infinite in capacity. So this is beyond our creaturely limits, and we are crushed by the burden of trying to be something we are not and something we cannot be. So hearing this, instinctively you think, the answer is just do less. All the slackers in the congregation go, yes. But I believe that God's antidote to this is not necessarily to do less. Some of us could learn how to focus on our critical tasks a bit better, of course, and healthy boundaries are very important, of course. But beyond setting healthy limits, I believe the antidote is about recognizing our finitude by practicing contentment. To recognize our finitude by practicing contentment, because contentment expresses, it's okay, whatever I'm going through, God is God, and God is enough. And this is what Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. We love this verse. We love this passage because we can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But actually, the context is about contentment. And here, Paul was thanking the church for their giving to him. And from what he says, we can tell that Paul has obviously experienced plenty. He experienced abundance, but he has also experienced having very, very little. And yet, whether he has a lot or whether he has very little, it's okay. It's okay with him because whatever God chooses to give, it is well with his soul. There is a sense of peace and restedness. No need to grasp, no need to strive, no need to fight for more. And what does this require? It actually requires a lot of trust and surrender. And being content requires us to acknowledge there's so many things in our lives that are outside of our control. We are not God. And we need to surrender to the one who is, to his sovereignty, to his goodness, to how loving he is. And when we can believe that he is good, he's sovereign and he is loving, we can trust that whatever God gives, it is enough. It is the best. It is well with my soul. So I'm going to share a personal story on behalf of my husband. And he's given me permission to share this. Actually, he's encouraged me to share this because I think there are many of us shelpings walking around. So a couple of years ago, he went through a very difficult patch. So within the space of about 2 years, he went through a pandemic. He went through open heart surgery in the middle of the pandemic. He went through a very intense season of caregiving for his mother who had very severe dementia, and we took care of her in our home. And those of you who know what it's like know how intense it is. And subsequently, we had to deal with her bereavement. All this, in addition to the regular stress of work, he was given the responsibility to start up a division at work, so that is very stressful. And then a wife with a very, very full job and a very, very full responsibility, and then 3 kids, 2 of which were going through their teenage years. If that is not a shopping situation, I do not know what is. So over time, he realized that his moods were getting a little darker, and getting slightly more depressive. And he didn't want to be with people as much anymore, and he needed to withdraw from people in order to cope. And he felt his energy levels was different, he felt that he was getting very tired, and even though he slept, he would feel so tired whenever he would wake up in the morning. It came to a point where he realized that he was probably going through burnout, and if he didn't deal with it, it would probably progress into something more. And as he talked to a few trusted people, and they helped him to see that perhaps it was helpful to process this with a counsellor, he went to seek out a counsellor and eventually some healing ministry to process all that was going on. So what he realised in this whole process of walking through this is that when life got hard, he felt that things were spinning out of control. So, as a normal guy who likes to fix, who is a troubleshooter, he likes to things to run smoothly in life. Work runs smoothly. Kids behave well. Parents behave well. Wife also behave well. So when that didn't happen, he got overwhelmed and he got frustrated and probably got more angry. So in the Freedom in Christ course that we've been going through a couple of weeks ago, we talked about unrealistic life goals. And then he realized then that, one of my life goals to ensure that everyone is happy all of the time. Wow, I love my husband, but that's a job scope that's only reserved for God, okay? So walking through all of this with a counselor, with help, and with the support of CG members, he discovered a restedness in trusting God in things that he cannot control, and he discovered contentment. So contentment says, I don't need to be God. I trust God to be God. It is well with my soul, whatever God gives. So in order to struggle faithfully with God, we need to be honest, we need to be content, but we are also to be compassionate to others, even in our woundedness. So friends, all of us do experience woundedness. We all experience struggle. But you know, God's plan is never for us to stay in our woundedness and in our struggle. Even for those who have mental health disorders, the recovery is about moving from distress to stability to function, but to purpose. And purpose is the ultimate goal. So when God redeems us, when God redeems our pain, the redemption of our pain is for a greater purpose. There's this book, a very famous one by Henry Nouwen, it's called Wounded Healers. And you know, we are wounded healers because we are all wounded and broken in some way. I love the title of that book. And when God gives us some measure of healing and restoration, we are to bring that same healing to others. And that's what being compassionate to others, even in our woundedness, despite our woundedness, is all about. And this is expressed really well in Isaiah 58, verse 10 to 11. And it says, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. God calls us to pour out ourselves for the hungry, for the oppressed, for the afflicted, for the needy. But he's calling not those who are operating from a place of plenty. Look at the words, satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. This is someone who is living through somewhere that's dry, somewhere that's needs, and going through wilderness himself. But the wonderful thing about pouring ourselves out for others as we do so is that we will experience more satisfaction, we will experience watering, we will experience strengthening for ourselves. And that's what it says here in this passage. When we are compassionate to others despite our woundedness, God promises that we will also experience a greater measure of healing, a greater measure of restoration. And this week, just this week, I caught a glimpse of what this looks like in our world today. This week, I visited one of our members in the hospital. And this is a 9-year-old boy, and he was about to go through emergency life-saving surgery. And as you can imagine, this boy, every single visitor that came, his question was, is it going to be painful when I wake up? Is it going to be painful when I wake up? Every single doctor, every single visitor he asked this question tells us that he was terrified. So while I was there, I felt led to ask Ryan from Woodland Centre if he would be willing to video call this boy to encourage him. So if you don't know Ryan's story, he's a 14-year-old and he has a liver condition and he's been through multiple major surgeries and procedures in his life. And even right now, he's recovering from a liver transplant. So I shared with the boy, hey, you know, there's this Gogo. He's been through a lot of surgeries. I think he really knows what it's like. Would you want him to talk to you and to pray for you? And of course, the boy said, yes. And so we video called. And when we connected, the first thing that Ryan said to him was, "Trust God. He is with you. Whenever you feel scared, play some worship songs to remember that His presence is with you." I was standing on holy ground. When we heard that, both the mother and I started to tear up, because it was like God speaking shalom to this little boy who desperately needed it, but it came from the mouth of someone who had experienced deep suffering and deep pain in his life. And why it came out so powerfully, because the words were not just words. The words were lived. The words were lived. And Ryan's journey of pain is being redeemed to bring blessing and shalom to others who desperately need it. And even though it's a different sort of pain from mental health challenges, God's purpose is still the same. We are called to be wounded healers, bringing compassion to us through the experience of having God with us as we go through our own pain, our own brokenness, our own journeys. And in the process, we are more and more restored because we experience more and more of the reality of God in the midst of our pain. So friends, in God's hand, pain is never wasted. And God redeems pain for a greater purpose, and He redeems our pain to bring blessing and perfect shalom to those who desperately need it. And even though we all struggle, even though we are all wounded, but we have something that's different. We have Christ in us. We have the presence of God with us, who have journeyed with us through all our pains, all our struggles. And when we can bring that reality to someone else, that is when pain is redeemed. So in the hands of Jesus, our pains are never wasted. In the hands of Jesus, our pains are always redeemed. So friends, today, we all have pains. We all walk through journeys, but we all have Jesus. And this is the church. And we, the church, are called to struggle faithfully. And with the lives that we live, with the hope that we have, with the faith that we have, with the love that we embody, we are called to be the church, to struggle faithfully and point each other to the reality of the person of Jesus Christ and the hope that He gives in the perfected shalom that is yet to be. So today, my call to all of us is we are to be the church. We are to come together as a whole community. In this community, despite our woundedness, to declare the hope of Christ, to declare the reality of love, to declare the reality of hope that is in Jesus and Jesus alone. So today, even as I come to a close, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask us to sing a song of faith. Sing a song of faith that as the church, we can declare and we can sing that despite our collective pain, despite our collective suffering and the struggles and the journeys that we go through, whether it's mental health challenges, physical challenges, or whatever crises you're going through, despite all of those things, even as we struggle together, we struggle declaring that Jesus is with us. And perfect shalom is coming. So as we sing this song, for the first two verses, would you allow the worship ministry, the singers, to minister to you? And as we sing it again, as we sing, there's a responsive part to it. It says, "We do," and it is. And I really want you, as you stand later, to sing with all your hearts, believing, declaring that the source of your faith, the source of your hope, is here together.
To feel the world is broken, that we do. But do you know that all the dark would stop the light from shining through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do.
Creation
groaning, it is. It's a new creation coming,
it is.
It's the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst,
it is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves?
Let's rise and respond to God with the assurance of faith.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark will stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do.
It's all creation groaning.
It's all creation groaning.
It is.
It's a new creation coming. It's the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst.
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is.
Is anyone worthy? We sing.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Open the scroll. The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy?
Jesus, our Messiah, holds forever those He loves.
He does.
Bless our God intend to dwell again with us.
He does.
Is anyone worthy?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole?
Is he worthy?
Is he worthy?
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.